What's your type?
What's your type?
What's your type?
What's your type?
Hello and welcome back to the second ever episode.
Second ever episode, which means it's going to be the second worst one because we're getting better.
But not because of our guest, who will intro shortly. Our guest is amazing. You are our first guest. I don't know if we told you that.
In fact, I think we were so smart in getting such a good first guest because she's going to elevate us.
Sarah, why don't you introduce the podcast?
The podcast is What's Your Type? It's the podcast about why we want what we want and why we do who we do. My name is Sarah Hartshorn. I'm a comedian and a writer and a snot monster today.
And I am Tyler Mead. I'm also a comedian and writer. I'm pleasantly unsnotted. today, joining us in the studio apartment, we have the lovely, the very funny. She's a writer. She's a podcaster. She's really just a down bitch who, if I wasn't so close to, I would be so afraid of. Please welcome Andrea Allen, everybody.
Hear me.
That's so true. I was intimidated by you for years.
What?
Because you're tall and hot.
That's so kind of you to say. Which and
I always wanted to be my thing, you know, but
you are tall and hot. What are you talking about?
I never had time to be intimidated by you because you were nice to me from the jump. Like,
so true.
You were one of the first Creek people. Like, it was the girls at the Creek who were like, you're not funny yet because you just started, but like we see it.
Yeah.
Like, keep going.
Yeah.
If you are listening and you don't know, The Creek in the Cave is a beloved New York City comedy spot that has now moved to Austin, Texas. And we love that for the owner and for some people. But
yes.
We hate it for us. Or I hate it for us.
Yeah. Yeah. I have such complicated feelings about The Creek in the Cave because it was like my den.
Yeah.
And so many things happened there. So many life changing events, many things I saw that I'm like, I should have legally not been able to see that.
Yeah. Didn't someone die?
Yes, many people died there.
Many people?
I've had sex there.
God damn it.
Amongst us. Sorry.
Well,
Tyler.
I'm sorry. It wasn't really a big gay hotspot in Cape.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless me and Dylan Adler were going to do stuff, which love you, Dylan. But I don't think that it was on the table for either of us. But yeah, we were just trying to make sure the straight guys didn't hate us.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a bastion of queer acceptance,
I would say. Which, honestly, I still to this day am like, oh, that's why I had to get good quick.
Yes.
If you were not a straight white guy, you really had to
figure
it out.
Because they did not listen to us.
Mm-mm.
It was very funny.
No, I physically fought people at the Creek.
Oh, my God. I think you know exactly what
that's
I'm thinking
hot.
Of. That day that dude had a meltdown and his girlfriend kept being like, he's not usually like this. And you were the one, he bombed at the open mic. He was mad that he had gone so late. Because he was like, the bucket's rigged. Of course it was. We've never seen you.
Oh my God,
I'm
scandalized. I never rigged my, oh yes, I did.
Yes, you did. As someone who got to go in the first group a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, you did.
Of course you did, because you're a responsible adult.
Yeah,
right, I didn't even realize, when I first started doing mics, I didn't even realize, the rigging is for the room's benefit.
Yes.
You put up people who are funny early so that you get the momentum.
You get the momentum. Also, I just want to clarify, if anyone is listening and does not do comedy, a lot of open mics, you come, you write your name on a piece of paper, and you put the piece of paper in the bucket, and then the host draws them out seemingly at random, but as we are now, we're pulling the curtain back from the wizard. We rigged it, and we would put funny.
And it's usually
first.
Just the first group. After that, it is like blind drawing.
It's
5 minutes.
No, it's not.
Oh,
it is rigged all the way. And if you are shitty and bad, and you're a man with a bad attitude, you're going last.
I legitimately did pull. I would legitimately pull, but then order occasionally.
Yeah, yeah.
But usually, I did a lot of free pulling because I also like didn't.
Care.
I was
you're
care.
A bastion of democracy.
I was a bastion of being on my phone during other people's.
Yeah,
sets,
yeah. Fair.
And
fair.
I apologize.
I had a god mic when I took over your mic because I would get bored and I was like, if your set's not funny, I can at least help.
And that does make it the room better.
The god mic is fun.
Yeah.
But this guy, like, stormed out of the mic room. He's in like the general bar area. He's like swearing. He was starting to get that level of, like, white dude angry where everyone is like, ooh, shit. And we're all just like, whatever, like, he'll leave in a second.
Because there's white guy angry where you're like, in the moment, how much damage can he do?
Sure.
And then there's white guy angry where you're like, is he going to leave and come back with a gun?
Yes.
Like, is this lasting?
Or is he going to push someone? Yeah.
Down the there were terrifying stairs at the Creek. I would always go in my cute little heels because I was trying to be cute because I was trying to have sex.
You also would bring cookies.
And I brought cookies and or brownies to my mic every week.
Yeah, there was a lot of powerful women at the Creek.
Yeah.
Because only we could withstand it.
This dude's getting very upset, very incensed. the only, and I mean in a room full of dozens of doughy, out-of-shape male comedians, the only person who stepped to this dude in her fur coat
yes.
was Andrea and goes, What? Are you going to hit me? What are you going to do? And his girlfriend was finally like, we have to leave.
Oh, I feel bad for his girlfriend.
We all felt bad for the girlfriend. I think we all had like a little summit and we're like, she better break up with him.
And she's not going to.
Oh, are they still together?
Probably. They're probably married. No, probably. And they live in the burbs and he's a drunk.
Make my skin crawl.
Yeah, I know. Oh. I mean, I just feel like in those spaces, very often, if someone doesn't like be like shut the fuck up, then it does escalate, mm-hmm. and it's almost always a woman or maybe actually speaking of Dylan Adler, I was walking outside of a comedy club in Bushwick, Tiny Cupboard, and me and Dylan Adler is a fantastic comedian, and he is. I forget. He's like tall and jacked.
It's true.
He's
super jacked.
Super jacked. Yeah. And I just view him as like a little brother type character.
Yeah.
Even though he's like, if you tried to fight, he could like
kick your ass. Yeah. He's like 6'2". And
I think
yeah.
he was like a diver, if I'm remembering right. And like, he's in incredibly good shape.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's doing backflips on TV. He's amazing.
But I always think of the backflips as like whimsical. So I'm like, no, that's not like,
right,
you don't have to have
like,
abs to do. But like, yeah. he is in
no,
very it,
he does. He's doing multiple backflips a show.
Yes.
Like, on multiple shows in a night. I'm like, wait a second. Like, I can't do that if someone manipulated all of my limbs. Like,
on
a trampoline,
like a
physical
with
specimen.
A tower. On ketamine, I can't do that. You know what I mean? Like,
not a chance. And so we're walking down the street, and it's just like there's a guy who's hitting on me, and he's like being gross and relentless and like following. And it's starting to get to like that situation where I'm like, okay, pepper spray, what are we doing? And Dylan Adler, who is a gay man, so he was doing full like, bitch. And this, to this terrifying man, like terrifying, and he was just like, you leave her alone! And it was like
really
a showbiz fucking voice and affectation, but I was like, oh, Dylan Adler's huge and could murder this man. And it's always the women or the queer community or people of color who are like dealing with situations in comedy. Yeah. It's so rarely a white guy.
Yeah. Well, I had a tall privilege moment the other day. I was walking with two friends who are teeny tiny and it didn't occur. This guy was following us and just sort of harassing us. And he kept calling them Little Kims, which I thought was very funny. They are both white. But he kept being like, hey, Lil' Kim, hey, Lil', and following us. So finally, I turned around and I said, hey, I think there's a dick over there. Why don't you go eat it? And we kept walking, and they were so scared. I was like, oh, I just, like, I had giant person privilege.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't occur to me that, like, also I knew I had, like, strategized that we were about to go down into the subway and be around people.
Yeah.
So I had assessed the situation as safe for me, but I was like, oh, it's, like, for these two little girls, that's a lot more steps for them to go tippity-tap into the subway.
Can I ask a quick question before we, like, jump in? This is one of those things where I always am, like, realizing sometimes I'm a bit naive to certain things that are realities for women. How often are you guys getting followed by dudes?
Oh, once a month.
Once a month.
For me,
depending on the season, summer's worse.
Yeah, summer's definitely worse. Summer's worse. I dipped out of the male gaze in a lot of ways when I had a baby. When I was pregnant, I kind of became. It's very weird when you're pregnant. You're like simultaneously more visible, right? You're on the train. Someone gives you a seat, but then also a lot of men just did not see me.
Yeah. Do you think they like also, even though they're like awful, they're like, well, she's a mother. Do you think there's like some like, I'm a piece of shit, but not a pregnant woman.
Maybe. That might be part of it. I think it is also legitimately like a pheromone hormone thing where they're like, that's off the mark. That doesn't matter.
Yeah.
A man literally tried to stick his hand through me to shake hands with someone on the other side of me once. And I knew the whole conversation. I've been like, that man doesn't see me. He doesn't know
I'm
here.
Well, he's like, I can't fuck that.
I can't fuck it.
Someone else fucks that.
So he literally like went to stick his hand and like brushed my boob and was like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see you there. And I was like, I'm 6 foot tall and 9 months pregnant. Like, you didn't see me conceptually in your soul. Like, you know what I mean? Like, your eyes saw me and didn't connect to your brain.
That's fucking gross.
So I dipped out. And then it was really funny. When the baby was like 6 months old, something changed and it happened again. And I could tell that I was visible again. And I hated it.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, you'll miss it when it's gone. And I was like, I did not miss it for 1 second.
I mean, I also, like, am tall like you. I feel like tall bitches get more attention and weird attention. Yeah. Sometimes people who are dealing with their sexuality in some strange way, tall women are a way for them to be like, it's kind of masculine, and that makes me feel things. Yeah. So I'm going to, like, yell, or I'm going to be, like, extra fixated. There's something about, like, a tall, maybe assertive woman that, like, does something different. But I also wear tight clothes. I'm always like I'm wearing crop tops. I have a fat ass. Like, I'm not hiding my body whatsoever. So I think, like, not to blame myself, but I think I get more attention because
of that.
No,
I don't think acknowledging your good qualities is blaming
you. Thank you.
On this note, so we are a podcast about attraction. We're talking about bad forms of being interested. Say we have a man on the street.
Okay.
Who you want to approach you.
Yes.
What does he look like? What's he act like? Andrea, what is your type?
A man that looks very close to a woman.
Okay.
Like, very beautiful.
Okay.
I love, like, cheekbones.
Yeah, delicate features.
Cillian Murphy.
I was about to ask who would play her.
Definitely Cillian Murphy.
Cillian, he's up there. A lot,
like,
of Irish crushes on this couch.
A lot of Irish crushes on this couch.
Yeah.
Is he Irish? No.
Yes, very.
Yeah. Obviously.
Yeah. I think the word for
Murphy.
I
think the word for him is black Irish, which is Irish people who have dark hair
features,
and features. Yeah. I also, it's like a vanity thing. Like, the people that I've been the most attracted to just look like boy-mies.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like,
but you're straight, right?
No.
Okay. Like,
I would put me, let's see. I've been to a all-women's orgy at Burning Man.
Oh, okay. Did you have to wait in line?
Yes.
I never made it through the line.
Really?
I tried like 3 times. I just
a line
do it.
For an orgy. That happened.
Those dykes have clipboards.
Yeah.
And they are not fucking around.
And the straight ones, you have to wait in a line too. The not straight, but mixed.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are organized.
They are serious.
They're really serious.
They go through a list. They're like, no bullshit here. Here's your bucket of strap-ons. Mm-hmm. Figure it out. Mm-hmm. But I would say the women that I've slept with, like, at 4 or 5 women, I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, that it's New York. If you're like a fucking artsy fartsy Brooklyn weirdo, if you're not like slamming puss at some point in your journey, like, what are you
slamming puss
doing?
It's true.
So I like.
I'm so sorry, gang.
Yeah, I've already said dyke and slamming puss.
I'm apologizing. I'm the only one on the couch not slamming puss. I'm embarrassed.
It's okay.
Look, as long as you're slamming, we don't care what you're slamming.
Math is bad, actually.
Don't slam
math. Official message. I think we've talked about it on the podcast both times now.
Maybe.
No, do you know what slamming meth is?
No, I don't.
It's where you inject it directly. Definitely
Oh, yeah. No, don't do that. Yeah. Don't do that. But I think...
I actually did not know that, so...
Yeah.
But there we go.
All right.
I mean, I think the women that I have been with, and that includes, like, trans women, it's usually someone who's, like, smaller and more feminine than I am.
Because
I'm the big daddy, usually.
I was about to ask.
Yeah. I'm definitely the butch of, even though I'm very femme, I'm like the...
Not even of like a butch femme dichotomy. I'm making a slight assumption as one myself, but I am kind of guessing that you're a bit more of a top.
Oh my God, I'm a top everywhere in my life.
Everywhere.
Oh my God.
I believe in it, but you also have to understand I am the most used to a surprise bottom as someone who exclusively goes for men who look like tops but are bottoms.
Yeah.
And like, to me, that is always a fun... The flip is exciting.
I mean, I think I just... really try hard. That's like my sexual style where I'm like,
really?
I'm here to do my best and I'm trying to identify what you want and give it to you. But like in terms of women, like I'm like this alpha, like I'm gonna fuck you. Like it's very like almost borderline, not toxic, but like it's how you would imagine almost like a dom, like a daddy. Okay.
And I will say, before anyone gets too excited about hitting Andrea up, we should point out, you are affianced. Congratulations.
I am affianced. Thank you. Yeah.
Would you say that your fiance fits into your type category?
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. Also glasses. I love glasses.
Glasses are hot.
Interesting. Didn't like glasses until my husband got them. And then I was like, oh no, okay, I can get into this. I see the appeal here.
I love, okay. controversial. If you look like you could have been a scientist who worked on the Manhattan Project.
Mm, okay. Interesting. That's kind of clean cut.
Interested in you.
So you were just sliding out of your seat for Oppenheimer.
Oh my God. I've seen the movie so many times. There's
something really? You've seen a 3-hour movie multiple times?
So
in
many
less
times.
Than a year?
It plays on loop in my house.
That's
I kind of love that actually.
Amazing.
That's also, thinking about it for more than 2 seconds, incredibly on brand.
Yeah. I love like an intellectual, kind of aloof looking person. My fiance has the cheekbones. He's, you know, beautiful. If it's a man, if you could put makeup on him and put him in drag, he would be a hotter bitch than me. Ooh. Like that is usually.
Now I've met your fiance who is like truly wonderful. Thank I was you. So impressed on like first impression.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Who would play him?
In our movie together?
Yeah. Just like you have to cast him, like who's the actor who's taken on the role, just so people at home can imagine. We probably don't want to slap a photo of your fiance on the Instagram.
I've heard like Jared Leto is too artsy looking for him, even though Jared Leto is like a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But he doesn't, you wouldn't necessarily know that to look at him.
Yeah.
Now
with his blowout and
the
his
lion's
cult
mane
that he has,
and the cult.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's true. But like the bone structure.
The bone structure.
It's all about bone structure.
If you had never seen him before, you would only be like, you're in a cult. I don't know if it's a bad one.
And I don't know if you're the leader or like the really deranged second in command, you know?
Yeah. He has leader hair.
He has leader hair, but he has
a beautiful
devious, like he has
it's
devious
very expensive.
Behind the scenes.
Beautiful
it is expensive.
It's so expensive. I mean, he's, I don't know, what would you say? I'm not good with celebrities, so what would you say having met him? He's probably more bookish looking than Jared Leto, but like that's.
I would almost say Martin Short if I'm remembering. No, not Martin Short. Is that the right name? He's in Sherlock. He's in The Hobbit. I think it might.
Oh, Martin Freeman?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm
gonna look it up later.
He's Watson in the BBC.
Oh
show.
Yeah.
I thought they had like a striking similarity.
Yeah.
In like persona of like a little, because you
that is a
your
nose and cheekbone.
Your couple also reaffirms. We talked about this last episode with Sarah. Your couple reaffirms an archetype that I personally appreciate. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably safe to say this is a performer thing. I like someone who burns. Pretty bright and is like big personality out the gate,
mm-hmm.
and someone who is a little cooler and a little more reserved and a little more like
slow and steady.
Yes.
Slow and steady. I think that dichotomy is very attractive to me. I always look for men who are a little more reserved,
subdued.
A little quieter, because I already know I'm like I'm bringing a lot. If the two of us show up, just
no, you can't
off
have
the walls,
two.
We're gonna be crazy.
Yeah, we were just talking about this before we started recording. I'm always impressed. And confused when two performers date, and I don't know how it works.
It's a nightmare.
I also can't imagine working with like having my life partner be my work partner. I do not. Like when I see couples that do that, I'm like, literally how? Where is the separation? How do you ever like turn it off? Also, when you're talking about your type, I know this is so specific, but I very much was picturing, you know, Dimitri in the Anastasia movie.
I have to look this up. Should I show you a picture of my
fiance? It's an animated
movie. Can I bring my phone? I'm going to so you can get a contact.
Let's take a quick break while you do that.
I love mustaches. I love them.
I have never loved a mustache in my life. Are we recording?
We are.
A mustache is a requirement for me with a man.
Interesting.
I have never like been in love with a man, except for the first boyfriend I had, which I didn't really love him. I was just lonely and had no self-esteem.
Yeah. And also, when you're young, the mustache.
Oh, yeah. Scratchy. Mm-mm. He was a redhead. It was a mistake. Okay. But, sorry.
The mistake was that he was a redhead.
Yeah, I mean.
Only in the sense that, like, God made a mistake.
Yeah, God made a mistake. I made a mistake. It was a confusing time. I just really didn't know what was going on in my life. But, I think the word is love map, and I don't know if this is like a real thing or something I Googled at 2 a.m, but apparently your like map of attraction forms like very earlier than you would think when you're like a young person. And so my dad had a best friend named Dave who was like a very gregarious, attractive man with a mustache. And I just wow. like loved him. Like, yeah. I loved him like he's like a family member. Like, he was so yeah. funny and fun. I loved being around him. He had this like really confident, cool energy to him. And so I do think I see like a confident man with a mustache and some like childhood thing like clicks in.
It's
and
like,
I'm
that's
like,
safe. That's good.
Yes. That's, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
like.
My dad taught us to read by showing us his old comic books from the 60s and 70s.
Aww. Yeah.
And oh boy, did that impact. Yeah. Who I'm attracted
well,
to a lot.
I have a stand up, an old stand up bit about this, but it is true. I was always like mystified when people were like, oh, you're attracted to your father, because I was like, nope, I see my dad and I see what I'm attracted to, and there is a huge divide.
Yeah, sure.
And then and I swear I was like very old when I saw a picture of my grandpa young for the first time for like reasons. He had
my
a
grandpa
messed up
was
childhood
a piece, sorry.
A messed up life when he was young, and so I didn't see any pictures of him. He didn't have them in his house. But when I was like in my 20s, I saw a picture of him when he was young, and I was like, oh no.
Yeah, I know.
Oh no.
I know.
See, I'm interested.
How did my brain know that though? How did my brain know what he looked like when he was like,
it's sick.
It's so sick.
It's sick.
And I escaped that a little bit because I'm not attracted to straight men, and like even the best
that's actually very impressive that's for
yeah,
a gay man.
Even
that's
the great. Best photos of my dad and grandfather, I'm like, those are two straight men, and like
yeah.
it really
yeah.
shows. Like, there's an old photo of my dad going to prom in like a powder blue suit and like the closest thing he ever had to a mullet. And like, it's such
gives
like
you the ick. Some
it
would say
it really does, yeah. and it's so like my non-type Brooklyn kind of like
yeah.
weird guy.
Yeah,
that I'm just like, nope, that doesn't do it.
I love that for us. No gravity issues.
You know, sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good. So we've talked a bit about physicality, mm-hmm. but in terms of like. Approach and presence and flirtation, like what's something that like works on you?
There's two things that work on me. There are two paths that will get me into your bedroom.
Ooh.
One, if you're like crazy,
cool,
like just absolutely nuts, and I'm a little nuts. I'm bipolar. I'm medicated. She's doing her best.
Hell yeah.
Define crazy though, like because when I think of like a crazy person at a bar, I'm thinking very drunk.
Oh no, I'm talking like medically crazy.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, if
diagnostic.
You're like impulsive and you're like sharing way too much
okay.
with me,
okay,
and you're like
you picked the right industry.
Yeah.
Oh my
love
god.
A trauma bond,
if you're
you
like
know.
Erratic, yes. If you're like erratic, if you are a personality type that I like, I get bored really easily.
Okay.
So if you're a personality type that I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Then I'm intrigued by you. Like one of the last people I dated before I started dating my fiance was a guy who was involved in Anonymous. I don't know if you guys remember hacktivism
oh, yeah.
group Anonymous of
yeah.
the 90s. He had long hair. He was a goth.
Like, yay?
A longer. Like,
ooh,
like,
down,
like probably
down.
Like shoulder length, a little more
okay.
than shoulder length. And he had...
That's my ideal length, is right below the shoulder. Right now, my husband's hair is almost to his butt.
Whoa,
and it's
Cher.
Not a style thing. It is absolutely
Cher. You come in here dressed like that and call someone else Cher.
Yes. show respect
it is so
to
Cher.
Mother.
I so much want to go as Cher where he's Cher and I'm Sunny, but he won't do it. Which is fair.
That'd be so funny.
That
would be so funny.
And he's really pretty, and so he looks great with... whatever. He has really long lashes. But anyways, he won't do it, but that's fine. But... my ideal is like
yeah.
below the shoulder.
I like long. I like gender bendery people. Mm-hmm. I always have. But I think the oh yes. So he grew his nails out.
Okay. Ooh,
and
whoa.
Sharpened them
no.
with a file.
Okay.
So they
okay.
were claws.
Were they painted?
No. Which makes it grosser
I
and
hate
weirder.
Long,
doesn't that
bare
make
nails?
A lot of things extremely difficult and no longer fun.
Well, he was kind of like a lady with the nails, race not specified, fill it in your mind, who had learned to do it with the pads of his fingers. Like, he did everything in life with the pads of his fingers because mm-hmm. he had like
it's
2 inches of nail.
Possible. Two? Inches?
Yes.
I was thinking about sex in that one specifically.
Yeah, it's possible to do.
Oh, well, this is the answer that you're seeking. During sex, he was scratching the fuck out of me. Like, my back looked like it was, like, crocheted with blood. But it was crazy.
I hate that.
That's so much.
So much. That would be, like, past where mine are. Is no, you know what? I hate long bare nails. They freak me out so much.
Yeah, I know. I love the disgusting.
So,
if it's,
okay,
like, disgusting
have,
okay. and an oddity and you're clearly out of your mind, I'm like, let's be incredibly involved with each other for, like, 4 months and then just have it completely cascade to bullshit.
So, okay. So option A, be
one.
Crazy and apparently halfway to Wolfman,
yes.
in a sense, with long, scary nails. That's how you get Andrea's attention, number one.
Yes.
What was path two?
I would love
to hear path two, and I'm really hoping it's something that your fiancé tried and was better.
Well, okay. So to say, but just for one more thing for path one, it's that wolf guy is an example, but it's more just like you're an adventure that I have not had before.
Yeah. A path untaken.
Yeah. Like,
you don't know what they're going to do next.
It's probably trauma, whatever. Mm. We all know.
Look at me.
But like, it's also like, I always knew when I was hooking up with people who were erratic like this, I knew secretly in the back of my mind that it wouldn't work out, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe it was like an emotional unavailability thing or just like I wanted to try shit. But so when someone like that comes along, I'm like, we're going to fuck a lot and, like, be delusional with each other, but I'm not, like, seriously thinking that you're going to be a partner.
Yeah. But that doesn't, like, that's still, a relationship doesn't have to be a certain length. It doesn't have to look a certain way for it to be positive. Or even if it's not positive, to be, like, for you to get something out of it. I don't know.
People
put so much on, like, well, it's not forever. Then it's a failure. And it's
No,
it's not forever. So it is what it is.
I have fucked 200 people. I am so pleased to be like, I know exactly what I like. And I've had the time of my fucking life.
Yeah.
I want for no adventure. I like adventures, but I'm like, I did want to do all this fuck shit before I, you know, settled down, so to speak. But
yeah, man, highly recommend.
Should we name those 200?
right now, go alphabetical. Let's go.
Oh, God. There are
Aaron.
But the other way that you will get me interested in you in a more serious way, there's a few characteristics. One, quiet.
Oh.
I love.
Hard save.
Yeah. I mean, to your point, I call it like the Dharma and Greg. You guys know Dharma and Greg?
Show.
Yeah, yes. So it's very like if you're a quiet, bookish guy and I'm like the wacky character, I think that works also because quiet people are often like a little anxious. Mm-hmm. So having like a whirling dervish around them who like, they're like, oh, you still, things still work out even though you seemingly plan for nothing.
Yes, yeah.
I think it like calms them in a weird way that you wouldn't think it does.
That is 100% my husband.
Yeah.
He's very quiet, very anxious, and is often like, well, what do you mean? Like, it's fine? And I'm like, it's straight up fine.
It's actually fine.
Yeah.
And then it is fine.
Yeah.
So, like, and as the whirling dervish, to have a quiet person who grounds you is very helpful. Like, I packed you some snacks. Maybe you want to do this and sit, you know? Like, they're holding your arm a little bit when you're wandering around the street. Like, it's a nice thing.
Mm-hmm.
Intelligent and a little arrogant.
Nice.
For sure. Yeah. Speaking of like father, like my father was a really successful man, and although a narcissist and kind of a nightmare in certain ways, he was like a powerful person, and that's attractive to me. Like, if you kind of don't think that you're the fucking shit, I smell it on you. And I'm like, no.
I can't, like, go into a conversation with a person when I'm like, I can tell you're just, like, meek and, like, there's nothing I can do here.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure that I would be a very entertaining conversation for you to have. But, like, I'm so sorry. I'm just not, like, that is such a big one for me. Where it's like, you don't even seem confident enough to stand here and have a conversation with me. What are we doing?
No.
I don't like meek, and I don't like someone who is, like, constantly, like, questioning everything, but I do find insecurity kind of.
Of course you do. Attractive. Of course you do.
I want to reassure. I want to be like, no, you're so great, and have them believe me.
Oh, you find insecurity attractive.
I find it attractive.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so
but
you're
it's such
be the well
a fine
of someone else's
line.
Confidence.
I see. I don't. I think that that's maybe one of the things that I is like a red flag that I find attractive that I shouldn't because it's not good, but I want to be that for them. I want to be there well.
Sure.
I can't be.
I do that with friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do that with female friends a lot, which is not great.
Interesting. That's so funny. I think female friends do that for me a lot. I think they often are. This is so weird because this is not who I'm attracted to with women, but I have a type for best friends. Almost all of my best friends have been redheads with big butts. Who are picky eaters.
That makes
so much sense to me. I don't know why. It just makes so much sense.
I saw them
to
at my wedding all lined up, and I was like, what? Who has a friend type? That's so
I have a friend
weird.
Type.
All of my mom's best friends are Catholic women who are more outgoing than she is. And my mom's so Jewish.
All of my mom's best friends are very successful women who are batshit insane. Yeah. But, like, love her and protect her. I love a woman who protects me. Because, like, I protect them. They protect me. We're kind of like a mafia.
We both have knives.
We're both, like, crazy in the same way that we understand each other's crazy. And I'm not being, like, denigrating towards us. I'm just saying, like, our minds work in a similar way.
Yeah.
And, like, I can text you at 2 a.m. and be like, do I have rabies? And they'll be like, bitch, you are nuts. And I'll be like, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to go to bed.
Did you get bit by a raccoon?
Yes.
No? Cool.
Are there animals with rabies in New York City? Question mark. Yeah.
I think so. There's got to be.
Maybe in Queens or something.
Yeah.
And can I ask, what did your fiance do on the uptick to like get your attention? Because in my mind, I can also see you being the initiator more often.
Oh, yes. I'm the social initiator, socializing out in the world.
You also strike me as someone who's like, I want to meet someone in person.
Yes. Yeah. But what was it on the uptick? Okay. So my fiance did both of the things a little bit, which
ooh,
is what,
best of both worlds, Hannah
which is
Hannah.
What got me going.
Yeah.
He was early for the date. He was standing there with his backpack. He was ready. We had a park date. He had things. Ooh. He had supplies. He bought me a coffee. He paid with his Apple Watch. Like, he has his shit.
He's hitting a lot of notes.
Oh, he has his shit sewed together.
Long, creepy nails.
No. You fuck that guy. You don't marry that guy. If there's young women or men listening and dating right now, you fuck the crazies. You don't marry them.
There you go.
Unless you're marrying me, which I'm a lot of fun and it's worth the.
You're also you. I've never seen you get to a point further than Wolfman. You're not giving yourself enough credit.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no. I'm not gonna like accidentally die from a serial killer's hand. But no. I think he's also good with money, and I like this is
that
I
is
am.
Hot.
Not
that is hot.
Great with money. I'm not stupid with it, but he's like when you get into your 30s too, I think you're like, okay, someone needs to be able to like do life correctly.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this person has their shit fucking together.
Yeah.
If I am in the hospital, this guy's doing it. Like I'm not worrying about shit. And that becomes like very important because life gets more difficult and you just stability becomes more important. So like he had that going, but my fiance is he's from Cleveland, and when he was 18, he had an oopsie doopsie and he got a lady pregnant, and he has this whole long history. testosterone, but he like. He wasn't with this woman, but they raised the kid together, and he had this baby mama drama, and, like, he also was, like, he moved to New York with the woman he was with for a long time, and they broke up, and he became, like, a New York City bachelor slut. She's figuring it out. Like, he's got kind of a messy past.
Yeah.
In a way that I'm like, oh, you're not going to be, like, weird about my messiness, because you have messiness, and you have experience, and you're not this, like, complete bookish nerd. You're like a man who's lived a full life.
Yeah.
Also, like, he's a self-made man. He was like a bricklayer. He was in unions. He used to be a blue-collar worker. He put himself through college to become an engineer. Yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, the metaphors.
Andrea, I got to tell you, you are starting to, like, paint a very rich tapestry for us. Like,
truly?
I understand exactly what your type is at this point because – again, as we've said, Andrea is like a very strong and confident woman, and I think you are like the like jokey like 90s way is like I want a straight up man, and it's like right, you very clearly don't want anyone who's not at least on your level.
No, that's the thing. I never
I
like
that.
I never like the idea, and like, I never thought I would get married. I definitely was like, I want a long-term partner. I want like a life partner at some point,
like,
for
cool.
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not like a dork who was like begging to when someone pick me.
Yeah.
But I just never met a man that I was like, oh, this person is like an equal and there's no fuckery. Like, we both have our issues. We're not perfect people, but like, I'm like, this guy's the shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would happily bring him anywhere.
And to make a safe, that's I think so, so often, like, what we want is like a safe space, but that can feel very constricting and very limited. And it sounds like you guys have created this safe space that has so much room in it.
Yeah. Yes.
For adventures and for fuckery and yeah. for past shit and for future shit. Like, that's beautiful when you can really create something that has like the room for you
yeah.
to not just exist but grow.
Like, I'm like, you were a father, you had multiple careers, you had
yeah.
a long-term partnership.
I was actually going to ask, when you talk to especially like other women,
yeah,
how often do you notice your type is syncing up with your female friends?
Oh,
like our physical types are similar.
But yeah. Category A, category B, and then the mix of like, where, how often are you running into like, oh, like, my good friend here and I will never, like, go after the same man. Like, we're going
oh.
versus being like, you know what, we're both looking for the same, like, Waldo.
I think my current bestie, Lizzie Cassidy, her and I will never cross swords because she loves, like, HVAC workers with knuckle tattoos. And this is not me being,
friend
like,
of the pod.
No. Yeah, yeah.
Friend of the pod,
no,
Lizzie Cassidy.
She
yeah.
loves, like, and she identifies as, like, white trash. She loves, like, a white trash, like, man, you know
yeah.
what I mean? But we actually do cross in that we both like genderqueer people.
You are the you are looking for the non-toxic
yeah.
masculine ideal of just self-assured and is like doing their thing.
Yeah, you know who you are. So
yeah.
I think, like, again, that's confidence. So a lot of my female friends are very confident, so they look for confidence. And sometimes they a lot of the times, though, when confident women are wounded, we find like a little worm to
yeah.
like boss around.
Yeah.
But sometimes
feel
the
hurt.
Worm is like mean to them. I've watched the worm get real rude and it's so weird to me.
I'm freaking out. When a worm is rude, I want to be like, do you know how lucky you are to be here?
Lucky you are? Like,
I've been bossed around by the worm yeah. for sure.
Well, my brother said this, and my brother's like a very, like, this is going to sound more offensive than I mean it, like a very standard, like, straight man. He is like very.
That's not offensive. It's
yeah.
okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. It sounds bad when
we
I say
allow
it.
It.
In 2024, weird, but I'll allow it.
Yeah.
And my brother has this very, like, has these very strong friendships with his, like, good group of college friends, his good group of
yeah.
high school friends. Like, they are still very close. They are all hanging out together on the regular. And my brother said something to me recently, which I was, like, so interested to hear because it really spoke to his straight male friendships, where he was like, there have been girls my friends date, and when it ends, I feel bad. Not because I think, oh, my friend is single now. It's like, you're not going to do better, random girl from Brooklyn. And, like, I feel bad because he's like,
wait, the girl's not going to do better than the bro boyfriend?
My brother's friend. And he will be like, and
he's
it sucks because it's like, it was a nice girl and we all liked her and she is cool. But, it, like, at the
I
end
know.
Of the day, it wasn't quite the right matchup. It's the thing you're talking about where it's like, I need someone to be at
and
my
equal.
Level. And I do like when friends are like, because I have certainly had friends who have been in relationships where I'm like, or like pursued men where I'm just like, I'm sorry, we've only had a few like small interactions, but he ain't shit and I don't know why you're putting all this energy into it.
Yeah.
And then I did that and I felt crazy.
Yeah.
It's, I am like massively triggered by this phenomena because I have been this woman. I've also tried to rescue, again, with the female friends, I have tried to rescue female friends from abusive relationships or relationships where the guy ain't shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like towing this awful line when they're like telling me over and over again the fuckery this fucking dirtball's doing. And then they're going back to them and I have to be like, I support you. No matter
I'm happy for you.
What?
If he makes you happy. Oh, I had a friend, one of my best friends was in a relationship that after they broke up, we found out that it was pretty abusive and she had not really shared it with us because she knew.
She was ashamed, yeah.
She was ashamed and I hated that. I was like, I hate that
I know.
That you would have been ashamed. I want to be a safe space for you where you can say that. And she was like, right, but I was pretty sure that you would have told me to break up with them. And I was absolutely
yeah.
would.
That's
told
how abusers work, though, is that they isolate you from your friends.
Yeah.
And so, but I have like been the one friend who's still holding on, trying to be there. And I now can't with that.
Yeah. You once very much in passing, I had like, I hadn't given you a ton of details, but I mentioned the situation I had with a dude. And like, I think it might have even been your first time hearing about it. And like, I was already like in the phase of like, this is done. Like, this is over. Like, it's not going to happen. And you were just like, yeah, if someone's just not making time for you, they're never going to. And I was just like,
yeah.
And it was one of those things where it's like, well, God damn. And like, truly, I think you were like, I'm going to go get like a water from the bar. And like, it was,
and
it,
you just
it was
left
that
Tyler
fast,
in shambles.
Was,
like,
not in shambles, but I was just like, not, you know, if I had heard that maybe like six or 7 months ago, I could have saved myself all the time.
Because I love you.
Yeah, no. Again, you were.
No, but that.
You have always been a great source of like, let me talk to Andrea about this for maybe 15 minutes and not get any bullshit answers.
Well, because it's like. I needed to hear that so many times, and I didn't. I didn't listen, and that's a part of like evolving and gaining your confidence, and so I'm not like being like you weak piece of shit. Like I really am. Like oh, I have so been you.
Yeah.
And I just, but there also turns a corner where it becomes a pattern that people do this, and I'm like, you're unwell, and I don't. I want you to be well, and I can't be around this sickness that you are indulging in because it's making me upset.
Yeah.
And I have a right now as a grown up to be like, you can come back to me when you're going to stop doing this sick bullshit. But right now I'm going to get mad at you. I'm just going to snap. Like you're going to be like, well, actually he, and I'm going to be like, well, actually you're an idiot.
Yeah.
He's being an idiot.
I don't have it in me to say what you want to hear. I can only say what you need to and therefore cannot hear right
don't
now.
Don't piss on my back and tell me it's raining. You're dating a fucking loser and it's New York City. So it's hard. It's hard. Yeah. There's being a straight woman in New York City. The men just have the pick of the most incredible crop. There's more women than men. Yeah. It's a, like, if we're going to talk in the terms of your bro, your brother and his bro friends, it's like a supply and demand thing, really. Like, they know they have just boundless options, so they treat people like options.
Yeah.
And the only way you're not going to get treated like an option is just to be like, fuck you.
Yeah, I
will
not.
Say, I understand exactly what you're saying. I do just want to make a clarifying point. All of my brother's friends, because I do hang out with them a good amount, I have never actually, like, heard or seen any instances of them, like, treating a woman as, like, disposable, which is... I think why my brother has that mindset because he's like, wow, like you guys really like went in.
Good.
Like, went
it's
in. Yeah,
it's
good.
Nice.
They
it's
should.
Nice to see.
Yeah, it's a good.
Dating is human interaction. Those are,
And we've talked a little bit about this, but I want to dive a little deeper. What are some red flags in people that you find yourself attracted to consistently?
Assholes. Yeah.
You as someone who does like confidence.
Yeah.
That. Or I have also dealt with that where I like confident and then I meet them in person and I am like, there's a little too much of this.
It's such a fine
line. And you're not
line.
Even leaving room for me to also have it.
Well, I think also confident people are smart. Assholes are stupid and they're making up for their stupidity by projecting all their bullshit everywhere.
Can you say that again to camera?
Say that again.
Confident people are smart. Assholes are stupid and they're making up with it with all their fanfare and bullshit. So you can like... You can, like, put up a smoke screen for me, but I notice someone is an asshole when they're not listening to me in a conversation. A confident person might listen to me and sometimes might, like, talk over me a little bit.
Yeah, or disagree or, like, write off your opinion. Not write off, but, like, might
maybe
be, like...
Maybe a little bit, though, and I'll be like, ooh, I'm being challenged.
Yeah
and there is... Because I like the challenge.
Yeah.
I like push back... Do like don't just let me steamroll.
Yeah.
Again, I think all three of us can do this. I've also been in the no questions asked back date.
Yeah.
Which is so weird for me.
Insane.
But
how
like,
are you not curious about the person in front of you?
Right.
Yeah.
How are you not curious?
Imagine if we asked Andrea no questions on this podcast.
Oh, I mean, that'd I've been on podcasts where that has
me
happened.
Me too.
Where
it's
I'm
so
like,
weird. Why
with the two dudes?
Yeah. Of course.
Come on now.
Yeah.
But no, the challenger approach of like. I'm going to engage with you because I know, like, we can go back and forth.
Yeah.
And
the
then but then there is the challenger of, like, no, that's wrong. And it's like, oh, I'm sorry. Are you trying to box me out of the conversation only the two of us are having?
Insane.
Right.
Do you want a monologue?
It's such a fine line.
Yes. And assholes can't fuck because they don't have empathy, so they're not going to pick up on bodily cues. They can't. Yeah. Assholes can't fuck.
I was hooking up with an asshole once, and we had two. We like hooked up a bunch, and two of the times were so good that I was like, okay, it's there, it's in there.
Yeah.
But I just got sick of trying to shake it loose. You know what I mean? Know. And the rest of the time, it was always bad.
And assholes are boring after a while. It's like, so, they'll be sparkly for 10 seconds, and then you'll be like, excuse me. Like, I remember I was at a fiance's office party, and he's an engineer, and he works with all like smart, confident people. And there's one guy in that office who is like very tall and traditionally attractive. And in front of my fiance, he was like, oh, you didn't tell me you were like dating like a hot girl. And I was like, dude,
what a weird thing to say.
That's
to a coworker.
Coworker.
That would be a weird thing to say. To my coworker. I'm dating a hot girl.
Right. What are you, insane? What are you, 10 years old?
I don't know. That was the way you said it.
I had sex with a hot girl.
Would you like some creamer for your coffee? I had sex with a hot girl.
Yeah, what did you do this weekend, guys? I started dating a hot girl.
It's my God, finally. Yeah. But like, I'm like, that guy's tall and attractive. And so he says this asshole rude. That's incredibly rude. It's rude to me. I am like new here. I can't.
You're also right there.
I'm right there.
I'm not complimented by you calling me hot. You're sexualizing me from my fiance. It's rude to my fiance to be like, whoa, look at you, you fucking loser. And I was just like, you're a boring douche.
Yeah.
And because you live in New York City and you're tall, you have just been given the idea that you're this brilliant fixture and you stink.
And all of the hot girls that you have sex with eventually get bored with you.
Of course.
And I'm sure you date some Instagram baddies who are like super into it for a while and they think your apartment's cool. And then they're like, wait, you always start on the left breast.
Don't marry the asshole. Yeah. Don't marry the crazy person who fucks like a crazy person.
Yeah.
They are traps. That's a trap.
Any other good red flags you like in a dude? Mm-hmm. Like, and this isn't to say like, oh, I think it's so hot. It's the thing of like, God fucking damn it.
No, insecurity for me is, this is one that I'm realizing that I have. That's a red flag that I'm like very attracted to.
Yeah, saving someone is very fun. You feel so needed and loved.
And I have no preconception that I can save someone from like an addiction or like bad habits or anything. But I do think that I can make them love themselves.
I sometimes still think I can. and that brings me to another red flag. People with depression.
Ooh, I go anxious.
Yeah.
I'm the anxious.
Yeah.
I need people to like that red flag more.
Yeah. No, I date almost exclusively anxious people. Mm-hmm. And
secretly anxious is my type. They seem super chill on the surface. It's a quiet and anxious thing. And then under the surface, very, very anxious.
And like I enjoy introverts also, because if they're anxious and introverted, when they like open up to me, I'm like, oh, I did it.
Yeah, you
cracked that shell.
I love that shit so much too.
Oh my God. But
getting a quiet, like strong man to be like, this is what I'm thinking. And it's like, finally.
Watching a single tear, watching a shut off man cry. Oh.
Yeah.
So when you're saying, like, is that all?
Like,
horny?
I'm happy. Yeah. I'm horny. Okay. I'm horny about
happy
that.
Horny.
Yeah. But depressed people, I, like I said, have bipolar disorder. And for a long time, I was not medicated. I was not diagnosed. And so when I was in these depressive, like, spells, depressed people, like, understood that. There was, like, a mutual understanding between. And this is not me being like, don't date someone with depression. But, like, I found it attractive that they could understand, like, this experience. But two depressed people is like two drowning people.
Yeah.
And so it often became like no one was doing well and no one could get out of bed.
And if someone gets the life preserver, sometimes the other person is like, well, but didn't you like staying here with me?
You
like,
leaving
I've
me.
I've seen that happen where it's like someone starts to do better, but because of the person they're with, they're like,
yeah,
I'm not going to keep doing it. It's like,
like, no, one of you has to get a foothold. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like, suicidally, I've had more than one partner who's been like suicidal, and it's just like, I used to really like want to take care of and also be like, it's very like embarrassing to be like, I've been suicidal before. It's like something people are really freaked out by. So to have another person be like, I fucking get it. Like, I'll be like, that's so like, wow, I'm so nice to be seen and understood. But like, I can't. Me and another suicidally depressed person, we can't make it work. Like, a lot of my relationships failed because, like, neither of us were, like, able to do life very well.
Yeah.
No, a lot of successful relationships I've heard about are very much like the thing I liked so much is at every point I felt like if I wasn't propping them up, they were propping me up.
Yeah.
It's got to be a give. Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of times there are just two people who are like, we're both just down here.
Drowning.
Yeah.
And a lot of times people who are drowning relate to other people that are drowning because they're like embarrassed or they're like, I can show you this because you're also doing that. And that's like nice and a beautiful thing to be able to bond over. But I don't think that's
like.
But
that's like, a support group.
Yeah.
And it's also just someone has to keep an eye on being okay as a goal. That has to be a goal. Even if, like, that's why I think you said, it's not that you shouldn't date a depressed person. It's obviously fine, but you have to, you have to have, like, at least a goal of an upward trajectory.
Yeah, a depressed person who's, like, trying, and then recovery is not, like, a linear thing. Like, you'll have hard 100%. Patches. I mean, another thing, like, my fiancé is anxious, and he has a set of issues, and my issues are very different than his. Mm-hmm. So he might not be able to understand, and this is weird seeming, but, like, when I'm having, like, an emotional, like, fit, for lack of a better word, or just, like, I am not handling things well, I'm never, like, outwardly mean or...
No, never.
It'll just be inward where I'm, like, I'm... Something's up, and he knows. He'll be like, are you okay? And I'll be like, no.
Yeah.
I think that is always a trick where it's, like, because I have definitely seen people... Like, it's always weird when I'm the one who asks my friend, like, are you okay? Before, like, their significant other does. I haven't seen you in 2 weeks, and, like, you're clearly upset. Like, why is the person you're spending every day with not picking up
on that? Yeah, I mean, that's straight men. They never...
It's not just straight
men. Oh.
Look, I am...
Are gays doing that?
So you have to remember, gay guys are still dudes.
I know.
Like,
I always
the
forget.
Problems that dudes have are going to be present, and the what's worse, sometimes, this is not universal, with gay men, because it's... two men.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's not that allowance of like, well, this is the person who like gets to be a little softer because like, gay guys do look at it as like, oh, this is my like,
there's no
they're
like
not gonna
nurturing
say, this is my buddy.
Woman.
Yeah. Right. And there's no one to like hit the brakes and be like, hey, our priority is outside of this thing right now. Like we need to talk about it.
That's
like,
difficult.
It's super weird.
Yeah.
So we're going to play a little game.
Yes. Okay.
The game is called Red Flag, Green Flag.
Oh.
Me and Sarah are going to go back and forth and shout out character traits.
Ooh.
And you have to decide if it is a red flag or a green flag. You
love
can expand if you want, but we're just going to, it's like, give
red
us your
flag,
immediate
flag.
Reaction. So red flag, green flag, theater kid.
Red flag.
LARPing.
Red flag.
5'7".
Green flag.
Instagram thought.
I love hot people. Green flag.
Okay. Yes.
Collector of something.
Red flag.
Very, very close with their mother.
Red flag.
Okay.
Religious.
Red flag.
Big red flag.
Big huge.
Red
flag.
Sorry.
Sorry. I'm not sorry. I hate religion.
Unless you're like Buddhist.
Yeah.
Then maybe.
Still,
like still weird, but like, well, interesting.
Yeah, interesting for
hate,
a conversation.
Hate spiritual is your personality.
Yes.
Spiritual is your personality. Hate.
Yeah.
Just admit you're boring.
And one that I had was long nails, so I'm going to strike
green.
That. wait, you go. I can't think of one.
Has an opinion about your lipstick.
It depends. If it's like a sleigh opinion, then yes.
Yeah. If it's a little gay guy, then it's a green flag.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I love...
I more meant, like, a straight man who's just like, I don't like
your
lipstick.
Oh, no, red flag.
Yeah. Dirty.
Oh, red flag.
Okay.
Orders for you at dinner.
Who?
Ooh, depends.
I know. That's a hard one because I think it's in your
category
a little bit.
If you like
it... If they get it... So let's put it this way. Ordered for you, got it right.
Oh, green.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Ordered for you, got it wrong.
Red.
Okay. Okay. Can never make up their mind about what to order.
Red.
Okay.
Let's see. What's another? Too into their sports team.
Red flag, but also like it's like astrology for men, and I'm like, I don't know, have fun.
Yeah.
Red because you're like stupid and you think like other men are you, and yeah.
Red. I think can be a healthy outlet, but it has to be a healthy outlet. Yeah.
If you get angry, then red flag.
Ooh,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, has been to anger management classes.
Red flag.
It depends, but if it works,
was
then
it, was
cool.
Was it court mandated?
Was it a great question?
Well, hold on, because that's approach one.
Yeah.
For a life partner, red flag.
Okay, fair. Yeah,
Three to five friends.
Green flag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Has a podcast. Tough.
It depends.
A lot.
I'm going to say red flag because only I can be the main character in relationships.
EDM fan.
Red flag.
Okay, we have the same music taste. I knew that would bother you.
Of course, yeah. Ugh. And I've been to a lot of festivals.
I've been
and
to a lot. I know.
It's embarrassing. And
Burning Man.
I've been to Burning Man.
Same, twice.
Still be a red flag.
I know.
Absolutely.
It's a green flag for women because sometimes you just want to be hot and do drugs and have sex with other women in a tent. Mm-hmm. But it's a red flag for men because I despise like granola traveler guy, wishy-washy philosophy idiot.
Oh,
okay. I hate it.
That's not my experience with the men at Burning Man because my camp was run by MIT guys.
It was
so comfortable, which was amazing. We had a shower. We had hot meals. It was great.
Yeah, smart guys.
Smart guys.
Yeah,
So for me, it's a mix. It depends.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, obviously, I dated my husband and still do. But, like, I went for... I mean, I had fun, and I'm glad I went. It was good, but I went for him. I went because I'm a really good wife.
I had no fun.
You had no fun?
I couldn't see myself having any fun.
Minus the orgy and, like, some of the beautiful art that is there.
Really beautiful art.
And the sort of run-ins with people who are maybe, like, eccentrics or intellectuals, which is much less common now, let's be honest.
That's true. I actually saw Paris Hilton. I saw her, and she was wearing a feathered headdress outfit, and I was like, who is that bitch in a feathered outfit? She looks like Paris Hilton. And then it was
like
Paris
kind
Hilton.
Of amazing.
Yeah.
But it's too fucking hot.
It's so hot.
It's very difficult to, like, live in terms of, like, climate and comfort. And... I'm sober.
Oh.
Yeah.
Red flag, green flag. Sober.
Ooh. Tough. Newly sober, red flag.
Yeah.
Long-term sobriety, green flag. But I also kind of like dating people who drink and get a little drunk sometimes. Mm.
I think that is always the thing that's, like, present in a lot of people who are dating a sober person where they're like, oh, I can't do anything now. And it's like, that's not true. Like,
yeah, don't be a baby.
Well, it's funny. There's this drag artist, Katya, who's famously sober and, like, was a meth addict and, like, has a joke about it where she's like, when I go on a date with a man, when the waiter comes over and asks if anyone would like wine, what I say to the waiter while the man can hear me is, no, if I have a glass of wine in 3 days, I'll be naked on the street smoking crystal meth. And then turn to them and go, but you should have some if you want some. And if they can't, go from there and confidently be like, I will have a glass of wine. I have a night ahead of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like people who party.
Yeah.
Not the meth kind.
Not the meth kind. But, like.
But they can be there.
But also people who have done, like, meth and heroin also know how to fuck because they've, like, experienced the greatest high imaginable and they're trying to recreate it. It's probably not a great idea long term again, but wow, is that fun.
Oh, boy.
But, like, I like someone who is, like, kind of a rule breaker. Someone who, like, gets a little fun sometimes.
Yeah.
If my fiance gets too drunk, which it has happened a few times, in the beginning of our relationship, because he'd never dated a sober person, I was like, if you get too drunk, I'm leaving. And it's not because I'm mad at you and I'm a it's because I don't, this is not for me. Like,
no, every substance has a point of cap out for other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there, because alcohol, you, like, I'm doing dry January. We've talked about this. I've gone, like, a few months without drinking before. There is just a certain point in the night, if everyone else is drinking, where you're like,
it's not fun.
I'm just not on this level.
Yeah.
Weed is like that. For me, personally, cocaine, the first snort, and I am just like, we're not on the same level anymore.
Yeah.
It's also, like, not fun. Like, I think ketamine is fun, and it can be at parties and be, like, a nice... That to me is, like, a sign that a party is, like, a good, safe, cool space.
Yeah,
it's
Like,
but it's not fun to talk to someone who's high on ketamine.
No, you're in an altered state.
Yeah.
So it's like, we're not
also,
even...
Also, if someone's on ketamine, they should be dancing.
Right.
That's so true. Yeah. Or sitting and wrapped in a blanket. That's my thing that beautiful. I love. Okay. I love to watch people dance while I'm sitting and I'm super comfy and wrapped in a blanket. And
that's gorgeous.
In a little tiny K-hole.
Yeah.
That's
it's
my jam.
Like, wait. Okay.
That's my favorite.
Sarah's
you're not
in a little tiny
K-hole. K-hole.
Not a little. Just a little
you,
one.
Oh, you like riding.
She's like edging
just
the K-hole.
Edging it. I don't feel nauseous. I don't feel sick, but I can't really talk.
Okay. I've never done
and I
ketamine.
Want people to come talk at me and tell me about their night. And tell me how pretty I am. That is my, if that is heaven to me.
Well,
being so comfortable, I'm like I feel like I'm suspended in water. I'm wrapped in a little blanket, and people are telling me I'm so pretty, and that their night is going really well, and other
so
people
specific.
Are dancing. It's so, and it happened once, and it was really beautiful.
Oh, and you're chasing
the
dragon.
When you were pregnant, when yeah. you were kind of holding court, and because you like,
I was sober. Obviously.
You and your husband really were like, this is my birthday. The best thing all of you can do. Is get trashed like
yeah.
I could
yeah.
and do it around me and tell me how much fun you're having.
I like that.
You set
it
up a photo
so
booth.
Great.
You were in full glam.
Yeah.
Like, you
I
really
did,
did
full
it.
Glam. I got into full glam at yeah. my vanity in front of everyone.
Yeah.
I love
and
this.
And then had an unveiling.
It was very fun.
That's the thing. I like people who have fun. Yeah. I like fun people. Fun is very important to me. I also
fun's
have
a green flag.
Alcoholism yeah. in my family. When someone yeah. gets a little too fun, I'm like, oh, that's touching in. Yeah. That's touching
well,
on.
I mean, heart same. Yeah,
you know,
come on.
That's
yeah.
touching
come
on.
Everybody.
Yeah.
That's touching
why,
on
and
something.
And I think that that's why someone who can really hold their liquor, especially a
yeah.
woman, is so attractive
yeah.
to me.
Yeah, I like
that's
it.
That's like
are
deeply
you, oh, right.
yeah, no,
I
get it. I
was about to ask what your liquor was, and then I was like, no, she just told us she's 10 years sober.
10 years sober, yeah.
Can
I, mean,
I ask what it was? Like, did you have a favorite liquor? You strike me as a
were you in anything, or were
girl.
You a, yeah.
This is humiliating to admit, but near the end of my alcoholism... Long Island iced tea.
Oh, you were going for speed.
Yes.
Speed and efficiency.
I was one of these, like, I have $17 and
oh.
I am going to figure out how to get the most fucked
yeah.
up. I was like a machine.
You drank like a person in New Orleans.
Yes.
I can appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
I was
yeah, yeah.
a fucking lunatic.
Yeah.
Like, imagine my personality, but like just
drunk.
Drunk.
Yeah.
Ugh. Ugh.
Yeah.
So, like, I love Long Island iced tea. I liked whiskey. It's Brooklyn. Of course I did. What champagne? Champagne is
nice.
My favorite.
Champagne,
yeah, champagne
yeah.
is incredible. The warmth that makes you
yeah.
feel.
Because I was actually going to say it is a little hard for me to picture you drunk
mm-hmm.
because such like a feature of your personality is composure.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh my God,
I
thank
have
you.
Really never seen you fly off the handle. Like
that's
you have a
nice.
Stage persona.
Thank
that
you.
Can do it.
Yeah, yeah.
But in a personal
that's so
setting,
true.
You do not lose.
That's
it.
No. interesting. I do associate you because I feel like I have seen you in these like emotional. But
oh yeah, I'm
on
like
stage.
Big and emotional.
Yeah,
on stage,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But then off stage, you are chill as hell.
Yeah.
I do not. I will never show you my. Hand, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
until I really fuck with you.
Yeah.
Because I am deeply distrustful
no, that's,
of
I
people.
Think, yeah.
Like,
I think that's sometimes a good thing, and I think we have a few friends who need to learn that lesson.
I learned the power of being quiet probably around my mid-20s when I was around
oh,
people
God,
who were quiet and confident because I was like, oh, I'm... curious about what they have to say. I'm like waiting for their opinion. I respect them more innately. And I'm not saying
yeah.
quiet, like not saying anything, but just like sitting back, observing, interjecting when they had something relevant to say, but not like monopolizing a conversation. Like I'm a little bit political in how I deal with people and not in like a, ooh, I'm going to manipulate. I'm just like, I'm going to see what
it's
you're
diplomatic.
Up to.
It's not political. It's diplomatic.
Yeah.
Do you notice a
smart.
Shift in the people who like found themselves in your orbit when that shift happened?
Interesting.
Yes,
yeah.
for sure. I also, I like to associate with people who have a low tolerance for bullshit because I have a low tolerance for it.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah. No,
it's so true. Honestly, Tyler is one of the tail. I feel like I had a shift right before pandemic and then during pandemic. And
yeah.
I sometimes I'm like, I should get sober. Just I should get sober, but I so much when I see people that I knew in my 20s, I want to have a thing where I'm like, I swear to fuck, I'm different now. Yeah. I'm so, if you knew me then, I'm sincerely so sorry. I swear to God, I'm a different person.
I think,
even then in my early 30s.
I was a nightmare.
Like, and I just want to have a thing. And I guess I have the baby to be like, I'm different now. I'm a mother. But that's not why I'm different. Like,
imagine telling someone who met you when you were, what, 23? And telling them, because I'm 28.
I was the worst.
I moved here when I was 22. You met me pretty.
Yeah, but you're like 45, though, yeah. Spiritually.
But even me looking back at me at 22, I'm like, what the fuck
I know.
Did I think I was
it's
doing?
It's humiliating.
Oh, and like, I was so loud.
Again, I haven't actually aged that much. Like,
I know.
It's been 6 years, and I am just like, oh my God, like, the difference is already so big.
You're going to be so tired.
And when I get to my mid-30s, I'm like, I think we're going to have like a real finished person there.
Yeah.
I love that though.
I'm excited for, I've been psyched to be 30 since I was 20.
Yeah. No, 20 sucks.
I also feel like, I don't know, I think the pandemic either stunted people or pushed them forward. And for me, it definitely pushed me forward.
Yeah.
Which I think is, it depends on how it hit you and where you were in your life and there's a million different factors. And it's, I don't even say that as a judgment thing. I think if one tiny thing had been different, it absolutely could have stunted me and messed, like, I just got very lucky, but like, I don't know. Yeah, I'm sometimes like, oh, I'm so sorry. I just so loud.
When I was drinking, I was a person that I would be embarrassed to be around now.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that was a big thing for me. It was like, oh, I'm doing things that are wildly out of character for who I feel that I should be. So this has got to go. But
yeah,
I will say, like, I grew up in a successful household. My parents are very wealthy and my dad did very well for himself. And the TV show Succession
is so
accurate to the dynamics in my household in a way that's like almost creepy.
Is there one you identify with the most?
Who's the little one who's like sexually deviant and
Kieran Culkin?
Yeah, yeah, Kieran Culkin.
I mean, me and my sister-in-law at one point did the same thing.
Yeah,
because she obviously married into my family, but mm-hmm. she's like, oh my God, she was like, with your dad being the head of a law firm and both your brothers being lawyers, she was like, it's so funny.
Yeah.
And she was like, and I mean, like, I beat her to the punch and was like, I'm definitely Roman. And she was like, I was so worried if I said it was going to sound rude. And I was like, what are you talking
about? No, Roman's the
at?
Most likable of all of them.
This is the first thing that's made me want to see that show.
Yeah, I know that.
I do want to watch. I've never watched.
It's
but
so good.
It's a great
and
show.
Sarah Snook is how you say it, apparently. That's how I heard it.
I didn't realize.
Is she
she's
girl?
Amazing.
Yeah, okay. she does a fantastic job. I mean, I would say that my family is not as cartoonish as that, but it's not true. They are.
Yeah.
They
also,
are.
I didn't mean to make sobriety sound like a thing that you have as like a trophy. I know that it's like,
oh no.
One. Okay. I just wanted to make sure that
I'll
offensive.
Take all the compliment. No, it's also very hard to offend me. If I know that you come from a good place, it's
okay.
Very
no, again,
hard to offend
I,
me.
No, I know.
Even on moments where I'm like, did I say something stupid in front of Andrea?
Oh, no.
I have been like, well, yes, but
I don't give a
care.
Fuck now. Right. Yeah.
This is our last question of like the going through things.
Oh, wait. I have one tiny one. Can
Ooh.
I?
Yeah. Yeah,
I wanted
please.
To add, because last time when we recorded just ourselves, I discovered a discrepancy. And so now I'm so
Ooh.
Curious. It's one of the biggest differences between us.
I don't know where it's going.
I know. How often do you see someone on the street that you don't know that you are attracted to?
Every day?
Wow.
Yeah.
I am the outlier.
Yeah.
Okay. Every
Poppy,
day?
I mean, we're in New York. There are so many. Priorities are different
No, this has been true about me my whole life, ever since I was a teenager.
Really?
Ever since. And I was
teenage me? No.
Really?
No.
I was a very horny teenager. Because
I was also closeted and, like, didn't figure it out until I was 18.
So
I was just like, no one's attracted.
No one's attracted.
Except for men. What?
Yeah, there was one dude who was on my brother's baseball team when I was in high school. I was just like, what's going on there? He was also like the hot popular kid at high school.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, everyone likes him.
Okay, so this is like a... Because I've slept with women. I'm attracted to women on a much smaller capacity than men. But, like, I remember when I would be attracted... Because I went to an all-girls school. And I think that, like, sculpts it a little bit, too. And I remember, because I had a sexual experience with another girl, multiple when I was younger, but which is, like, not so uncommon, even if you're, like, straight or whatever.
You can go on to be straight.
Everyone's just, like, doing shit because you're young and
Sarah
Lawrence.
Horny.
Thank you.
Right, exactly. But I remember being like, am I a lesbian? And then immediately being like, no, no. Because of society was so homophobic that I was like, no, and you'll never be, and shove it. Like, I remember.
And then you find out it's dope.
Yeah, dope, it's amazing. I wish I had nurtured the lesbian. I mean, although lesbianism seems like it's also difficult.
Well, you don't own a tool belt yet.
Yeah, yeah. I know. But like,
oh, I do.
That does not surprise me.
I own a lot. I'm the fix it. I'm the one who fixes things.
Oh, that tracks.
Love that.
Like toilets, all the. I actually don't usually assemble the furniture, but only because my
I gotta
ADHD.
Get you some red bandanas.
Yeah. Yes. Please, yeah. Because they stay on
you,
the hair.
You would look very
my
good
scarves
with it.
Slip. You know, I need a bandana that'll.
You
stick.
Look great.
Thank
yes.
You so much.
I love this portion of the podcast. How hot is Sarah?
Thank you.
Sarah's gorgeous. We all know.
Thank you. So much.
But like, I innately knew to be like, no.
Yeah.
And that's like so sad to me. Yeah. And I wouldn't have to, I didn't have homophobic parents.
Right, no.
Like I was in a safe spot to even if I
wanted
to.
I grew up in the lesbian capital of America. I grew up near Amherst, Massachusetts, which is like, it's a very gay area. I grew up around gay people from when it was never even explained to me. It just was like, oh yeah, Stephen and Richard are our landlords and they are together and they are two men. And it was just like that. Okay. But there were no bisexual women. And so I was like, well, I'm definitely not gay.
Yeah.
And so I was reading my diaries for some show. Somebody has a show where you read your diaries. And I was like, I know.
Yeah.
But I was like, I had a dream about Abby and her boyfriend, but I was her boyfriend. Mm. Her boyfriend must be so hot. I must think he's so hot that I wanted to like be him with Abby in a car.
That makes so much sense to me.
The early mental gymnastics you do about
like
what's attractive,
gay.
Where you're like, well, that's clearly this, and it's like,
were you ever like? Because I interviewed in my old podcast, oh my god, I'm forgetting his name. It'll come back to me. Fantastic comedian. I don't know if he's still doing it, but he was talking about the moment that he like admitted to himself that he was gay, and he's like, I was sitting in my kitchen, and I was just like, I'm gay, and he was just like, I felt so calm, and it was so like, we're just gonna. Say it.
Because there is a thing where, like, you have spent a bunch of time denying it. Because usually it's something other people pick up about you before you figure it out.
Yeah.
And then you're told.
Okay.
You're gay.
Yeah.
Just like.
Were you told?
Am I? Like, I mean, like, elementary school, middle school, high school. Like, it's not in, like, it wasn't, like, so pervasive.
Yeah.
Like, it was a thing that would get, like, tossed around. And also, I went to school, like, I graduated high school in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So I was catching the tail end of like 2000s level.
Oh.
Everything is gay.
Gay. Yeah.
Everything's
so
gay.
Yeah.
And like,
even do that in my high school because we were too liberal.
Yeah.
Right. I think it's fallen out of vogue a little bit, but like.
No, I was before that.
Somehow it's back with the really young.
It's because there are a bunch of conservative influencers targeting young boys,
that's
and it's very scary.
So weird.
So
scary.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Like it. But. We could talk about that for another hour.
Yeah,
but
sorry. I'm like, tell me about your coming out moment in the last 10 minutes of the
podcast.
No,
honestly, we didn't get that personal on our first episode, which just does.
I love the deep questions.
But we like to end every podcast, the last question, by asking just a general to the group. Who is so hot right now?
Who is so hot right now?
Like in the world?
Anybody. Anybody who's
can
just
be
like
New York,
so hot.
Can be comedy, can be the world.
You guys go first while I think about this.
Ooh, okay, you go first.
So the Emmys just happened. I think Niecy Nash
winning her
Emmy in like a truly gorgeous dress and like
with side. I love that style of dress that she was wearing.
I loved just her hair, and also it goes back to that confidence thing.
Yeah,
like she got up. And during her acceptance speech, I want to thank me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the one who put in the work. And like we said, religion's a red flag. I've heard other people say this. There is nothing I hate more than an acceptance speech. I'd like to thank God.
Oh.
Nothing
nope.
to do with it.
Nope.
You were in the movie. Yeah. You were in the TV show.
God frowns on Hollywood. This
was
you.
Yeah. What happens in Hollywood is disgusting and unholy.
Yeah.
What you did is an achievement.
Yeah.
Take it. And like, again, the people around you, like, I think are so much more important. So I love someone being like, I was told I can't do this. I was told I won't get this part.
Yeah.
And like, again, as two people, we've talked about this, who are so motivated by spite.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Seeing someone get up there and be like, I didn't let it go.
Yeah.
And it got me here. And it was right. And I have people who love and support me.
The minute
me.
I have
so
enough
hot.
Influence and clout, the shit talking I will do out in the open.
You'll have a radio show.
Oh, my God. Just every week. And fuck you. I will be Cat Williamsing every week. Do you guys know what Cat Williams is? Okay, I have my answer. And this is someone that I know. And it's not that I'm, like, attracted to her. I just think she's just so beautiful. I'm sure you guys know her. You guys know Rachel Sennett?
Yeah.
Yes.
Rachel Sennett is, gorgeous. Like, just... Mm-hmm. She's like a doll.
I had her on my show that I used to produce.
She's so... Mm-hmm. Like, I look at her Instagram just to be like, you are so beautiful. And she's a fucking crazy body.
Yeah,
she's
does.
Got,
and she loves it, which I love.
Yes,
like, she has.
Do you know who
she
was dating, by the way, for a little bit?
Stavros.
Yes,
that's Brooklyn dating for you right there. That can happen.
Stavros.
Stavvy.
Oh, yeah, that's a correct.
Who?
Oh,
and
oh,
I will.
Oh.
I will say I don't
I just
know
became
him
my mother
like,
a little bit.
Yeah,
I don't know him super personally. My understanding of him from everyone I do who knows him. So nice.
So cool.
So cool.
Nice. So yeah. Cool.
And like, it really does. I think this is the thing that a lot of men get hung up on where it's like, they only want someone who's like, and it's like, no. What people want is someone who's nice to them, who like makes, who again, they vibe with.
Yeah.
Like, I think we sometimes, I am shallow. I think sometimes we assume everyone is. As shallow, if not more than ourselves. And sometimes that's just not the case.
Oh, and I love that.
I've also dated,
so
like...
so fucking funny.
A fat, confident guy? What's
hot.
Up?
So hot.
I've had a great fun times with, like, a heavier, confident... He's, not even... Yeah, just...
Yeah, he's not fat, and so this is not... It's just... I find it baffling how baffled people are that Jack Black is, like, very hot. He is
charisma.
So hot.
So
and they're like,
hot.
But he's fat. And I'm like, first of all, he's not. If you met him in person, you
and
would
good
not
face,
even.
You can tell he's nice by his face.
And you can tell he eats
kind
pussy
eyes.
Like a champ. Like, I know in my heart.
Is that your pick for today?
Yeah, that's my pick. I didn't realize it going in. But Jack, and also, I just saw him on Jimmy Fallon. And he said motherfucker, and it scandalized Jimmy Fallon so much. And I was like, that's hot.
Motherfucker
like,
that did that? Wow.
Network TV.
Jimmy
Network
fucking
TV.
Fallon.
Maybe.
Yeah. And he was playing this like little kid saxophone. I was like, that's
I saw this. I love this.
Ever seen.
Yeah,
this is actually so funny because Jack, we dug into our types
thing.
On the first episode. Jack Black is very much in your realm.
He's in your zone. He's in the zone. But I just find it very baffling that people are like, but he's hot, but he's fat. And I'm like, all right, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I don't.
Fat people are hot.
Fat, thin. I do tend towards either actually. On the heavier side or on the ghoulish side, I don't really go in the middle.
In the middle, then.
Yeah.
I can't,
and he is kind of in the middle.
I can't do skinny.
I love skinny.
I know. Yeah. Women. Because
we're told that skinny is the god.
Yeah, that's
I know.
Skinny is, if someone is skinny, they are morally good.
Yeah, no, it's sick.
Found,
it's
so
sick shit,
up.
But it's really deep in
it's
there.
Deep.
I found an old photo from like summer of 2019 when I didn't have an eating disorder, but did disordered eating. Oops. And I got I think I'm 185 right now. I was down to 160, and, like, my weight just didn't change for a very long time.
Yeah.
I found a photo of myself from back then, and people were always very complimentary, and I looked at it now, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
That's...
scary.
Look.
I'm spending
especially in gay world, 160 isn't even that thin. I know people who are, like, 140,
that's,
120 as men.
Ugh.
And I'm always just like, you are too skinny. Like, there's nothing there. Like, I want substance.
I am spending a lot of time right now watching myself during a period of my life when everyone was like, oh, are you plus size?
Oh, and you were like, oh, and I was the thinnest I've ever been, and I was tiny.
Ever been.
Yeah.
I've heard so many people talk about, like, how they felt about their body when they were filming TV and then watching it back, like, maybe 5 years later, not even a long time later.
Yeah.
That must be a mind fuck.
It is a
mind fuck.
And
being like,
yeah.
What was I thinking?
What was everyone so hot.
Yeah,
thinking.
But it's always wasted. Whenever you're the hottest, you're always the most fucked up because something bad happened and you're reacting
you
to
way.
Be hot. And
yeah.
You never even get to enjoy it.
I
the
know.
Hottest I ever was by the societal standard or whatever, I was in the
true.
Worst relationship ever and he wouldn't even date me. Waste of time.
Truly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm so much better at sex now. Jesus
of
Christ.
Of course.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Andrea, we've reached the end of our podcast. Yeah. It's been so lovely having you. I truly, I don't think we could have asked for a better
person. No, guys. Really I'm proud of us even for
I love being here. I was just like, oh, I'm excited to be on the podcast, but I also get to hang out with you guys, which I love.
Do you have anything you'd like to promote? Shows, appearances, adventures?
I have a podcast called Respectfully. It is with Lizzie Cassidy, as mentioned earlier, my bestie who loves a blue-collar boy. And that's a weekly podcast. Listen to it wherever you know how to listen to podcasts.
What do you guys get into on it?
So Respectfully is like, it's almost like a weekly radio show, I would say. It's very segmented. The through line of it is the Respectfully segment where we, you know, go respectfully and then we drag someone
to
filth. I just
saw your guys' with Joffer and it was very
good. Woo! We got into it with Joffer.
Oh, I can imagine.
Joffer Khan is a very politically active comedian who's
and smart.
Very smart and very funny and, yeah, I mean, I love to talk shit, so that's kind of like a big part of the show.
No, we didn't get any of that.
You don't get that vibe. I'm a judgy bitch. I'm a shitty bitch. So it's both of us being shitty bitches. But we, you know, we talk about pop culture and all the different stuff. So yeah, check that out. Yeah,
I love that.
And where can people find you online?
Andrea Comedy 69 on Instagram.
69 is the sixth number.
I'm a child. And I think it's Andrea Comedy 69 on TikTok, I believe too. Follow me on Instagram because I've been hovering around 9,500 for like 6 trillion
years.
Let's
get Andrew to 10K.
I hate it. Just come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where you can find me.
And any shows coming up? Any?
No, fuck stand up. I'm just kidding.
Imagining you took this chance to be like, actually, I'm retiring. This is my last podcast appearance. I'm done with this shit.
I mean, I love stand-up more than anything. But
we also need
like,
you.
Fuck stand-up. I know. I love it.
Yeah,
but
please don't go.
I won't. And I love stand-up. But I'm at the Tiny Cupboard a lot. That's a club in Bushwick that I frequent and always has like good lineups and is a fun place. So just follow them and follow my Instagram. I post my shows. But, you know, also fuck stand-up.
I am Tyler H. Mead on everything.
I'm Sarah B. Hartshorn on everything.
And go ahead, if you're listening, rate, subscribe, leave a comment, let us know how hot Andrea is.
Please do that. I
think the trick with a lot of podcasts is like telling the audience like what do we leave in the comments? What do we leave in the reviews?
Oh yeah, please comment on.
Please comment. Tell us all of Andrea's red flags. Tell us all of Andrea's green flags. Yeah. Tell us why she's hot.
Tell us all of our green flags. Tell us why we're hot. Tell us why we're not.
Yeah, and give us those 5 stars and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.